A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
A Netflix comedy special, At Night at the Beacon Theater.
This is the lowest my voice goes.
Oh my gosh, Hallie Wong!
Jerry!
A photo of Schleppy and Janice, rest in peace.
My parents.
Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between, it's time to introduce
Tina and Amy. Lover. Yeah, makes more sense.
How did that slip out? Please put your hands together for your pal and mine, Sarah Silverman.
The title appears on screen in white letters, Sarah Silverman post-mortem. Sarah arrives on stage. The crowd cheers and stands up. The hall has three floors. She observes the crowd in the room from left to right. The theater is full.
Except, if this doesn't bookend with that, it will be a failure. I'm concerned you're setting yourselves up for disappointment. But I'm so happy that you're here, and I'm so happy to be here in New York City.
She opens her arms in satisfaction and closes her eyes.
At the Beacon Theater, and this is actually the middle of my tour. And I've come to really love being on the road, especially now. You know, just one, because I really love connecting with audiences, you know, now more than ever. And two, because I've really become a real hotel slut. I just love when a hotel is really nice. You know how you can tell if a hotel is fancy? If you come back to your room and where you left off in your toilet paper has been folded in a perfect triangle. I mean, there's just, nothing more luxurious than knowing that a stranger's fingers have handled something that you will press to your asshole at some point, for sure.
She looks up with a faint smile.
It really is how the other half lives, and I've been with my boyfriend, Rory, for 5 years. I should be able to say his name better, but it's ridiculous. Rory. But, you know, it's enough time that we do things to jazz things up a little, like lately I've taken to jerking him off with my non-dominant hand, which is great, you know, because it feels like someone else is doing it.
She grimaces.
I was actually a little bit proud of myself when I thought of that joke, and Rory was sleeping next to me, and I woke him up and told it to him. He goes, yeah, that's good. You know what we call that?
Sarah points her finger at the crowd.
The stranger. Everybody knows but me. I had never heard that before. And you know, it's just crazy because I always feel like women in general are more familiar with the experience of a man. We need to see the world through a male lens in order to just survive. Men don't need to do that. But this one got by me, the stranger. I love it. He goes, yeah, I'll use my left hand, or sometimes I'll sit on my hand to numb it up a little.
She closes her eyes and smirks with her hands on her hips.
I mean, swoon.
She smiles again and looks at the audience.
And I think this is normal. We'll do things with sex. We'll start talking fantasy talk sometimes during sex. One time we were fooling around, and this just came out of my mouth. I didn't plan it. And I go, you just showed up at my summer camp.
She makes a confused face.
And even he was like, ugh.
She grins.
But he saved it. He goes, but you own the camp, right? I go, yeah, yes. I own the camp, yes.
She crosses her arms behind her back.
Another time I was on top of him. What do I go, side to side? Whatever, the position doesn't even matter, but we were doing it. And then he goes, he's like, this is so crazy. I don't even know your last name. And you know, I'm playing along and I said, it's Hitler. And...
She smiles and looks up.
He came immediately, which was a little disconcerting. Right here, right between my...
She shows the skin between her nose and lip.
My upper lip and my nose bottom.
She lowers her gaze.
Oh, my dad and my stepmom Janice both died last May, 9 days apart. And, oh, that one needs work. But they really did, and I was really close with both of them. And my dad was my best friend, and they both gave me so much. And most recently, about an hour of new material, so let's do this.
She nods.
Sure. All right. Let me introduce the characters involved. First, my dad, Donald Schleppy Silverman. Everybody called him Schleppy. Born in Boston, then his family moved to... You've heard of it? You're like, I'm from Boston, you're from Quincy. But they moved to New Hampshire, and that's where I was born and raised. And my dad owned a discount women's clothing store called Crazy Sophie's Factory Outlet. And it's funny, when I tell people I'm from New Hampshire, they'll go, there are Jews in New Hampshire? And then I have to explain to them that, you know, even New Hampshire deserves retail. And
Sarah smiles.
You know, he'd do his own radio ads. He'd be like, I'm Crazy Donnie. When I see the prices at the mall, I just want to vomit. And then he'd rattle off a bunch of, like, off-brand brands. And then at the end, he'd go, so if you care enough to buy the very best, but you're too cheap, come to Crazy Sophie's. It, you know, I think he named it because Crazy Sophie's Factory Outlet, he loved Crazy Eddie from New York, you know, in the 80s, and he wanted to do something like that. And, but he needed it to be a woman's name because it's women's discount clothes. And then, you know, we're Jewish, so he wanted to sneak in like a Jewishy name, so he picked Sophie, Crazy Sophie's Factory Outlet. And my Nana, his mom, was very upset because her best friend back in Boston was Sophie Moskowitz, and she felt that he was calling her crazy. And he explained to her mom, if I named the store after Sophie Moskowitz, I'd call it Ugly Sophie's Factory Outlet. And I thought that story was so funny. So years ago, I told it on a talk show, and I didn't realize at the time that Sophie Moskowitz was still with us. And it caused much sewerous between the families, but I did make absolute sure that she's dead now. So. My dad, he called me every Saturday, and I almost never picked up the phone because his messages were gold. And I committed a couple of them to memory. I remember one was around the time when everybody had cell phones, like even in New Hampshire, you know? And he calls me and he goes, guess where I am? The car wash, can you believe it? I'm talking into this hunk of plastic and it's bouncing off the sky and down to you. The sky, yeah. And then he just starts going, oi.
She mimics holding the phone.
Oi. Oi. His windows were down.
She laughs.
And I was listening to him get soaked for several minutes. That is a very specific oi from my dad. I haven't heard it a lot. We went to exactly one movie together when I was younger, and it seemed like the perfect movie by the title, but it really wasn't. It was called Boys Don't Cry. Brilliant film, but don't go see it with your dad. And there's an absolutely brutal sexual assault scene, and during it, the entire theater is silent, and all you can hear is, oi. Why? The other message I committed to memory was I had moved to Los Angeles, and I was getting jobs like on TV shows and stuff. And he calls me up and he goes, "I know you're a real Hollywood hotshot now. Maybe you could find time in your busy schedule to call back the guy who gave you life."
She frowns.
I mean, it sounds like he's hanging up, but he gets like a new idea and he goes, "I used to lift up your little legs and wipe the shit out of your tuchus."
She imitates her dad holding the phone.
"Maybe you can find a minute for me."
She puts a hand on her heart.
He really loved getting old. He loved it. He knew he was adorable. He loved what he could get away with. We were at a sandwich shop in L.A., and we're eating, and these two huge muscle guys walk over to him and start, like, threatening him, like, "Grr." And he's laughing, and they leave, and I'm like, "What was that?" He goes, "Oh, I went to refill my Coke, and then I saw those two big muscle guys, so I walked over there, and I go, 'You know what? I feel like kicking some ass.'"
She imitates her dad clenching his fists.
With his little nubby elbows. He had sacks of water that just hung off of both of his elbows. Even the doctor goes, "I can drain those." He said, "Nah, my grandkids like it." Oh, I was home. I took a quick break from tour to go home for the holidays. And at that time, I went and got my teeth cleaned because, of course, death creeps in through the gums. And my dad and I had the same dentist, Dr. Hernandez, so it was fun to see him. And he's cleaning my teeth, and he goes, "I miss your dad." And I go, "I know, I miss him too." And he goes, "No, you don't understand. You have to look at my Yelp page."
She closes her eyes and gets a paper out of her back pocket.
So this is a little addition on this half of the tour. Oh, fuck, I don't have, I'm not wearing my glasses because I'm shooting a special. Somebody throw me some readers. Just one of you, some of you. Don't panic. Just chuck them right up on stage. Readers don't have like a specific... Okay.
Someone from the audience throws Sarah a pair of glasses. She picks them up on stage. She puts on the reading glasses.
What do you clean these with, salami? I'm kidding. Be grateful. I appreciate it.
She starts reading the paper.
This is my dad's Yelp review. 5 stars. "My dentist theory is, if it doesn't hurt, don't fix it. At 84, this has worked pretty good for me. Now I finally find an exception to my rule, and that exception is James Hernandez. No time is wasted with Jimmy at the helm."
She smiles.
"He has golden hands, fixing what ails your mouth promptly and efficiently. Get rid of your old shit dentist and switch to the best. Tell him Schleppy sent you."
She smiles and gives the glasses back to the woman who sent them on stage. She puts a hand on her heart and smiles.
Oh, my God. So funny. He called himself a reverse snob, which I tried to explain to him is really just a snob, you know, and... But he hated rich people, and they would go to Florida in the winters for a while, because Jewish law. And he'd sit at the Starbucks and heckle people. And he's sitting there, and a guy in a Bentley pulls into one of the spots, and my dad stands at the head of it and starts going.
She claps her hands.
"Good for you! Good for you. You got yourself a Bentley. That could probably feed 100,000 people in Africa, but you need a Bentley. Good for you."
She makes an awkward smile.
My stepmother called me. She's like, "I don't know what's going on. Your father's been punched in the face 3 winters in a row." Like, if he saw anyone with a Rolex, he'd be like, "Oh, nice Rolex. My Timex was $30 and I can swim in it. But good for you." You need a Rolex. Now everybody knows you're rich. He really fucking hated rich people until I started making money. Then he was like, I'm never flying coach again.
She looks at the ceiling.
Next, my mother, my biological mother, Beth Ann O'Hara. And I know some of you are, your wheels are spinning. She married an Irish Catholic man. She's fully Jewish. You can still jerk off to me.
Sarah smirks.
Beth Ann died 8 years ago. And let me describe her. She was just a natural beauty, no makeup. She wore like overalls with paint all over them because she'd paint in them, and like two different color socks, and she had a jewelry box, but it was filled with like political pins and like, you know, no bra, nipples out because fuck the man. And then in contrast to that, her personality was, this isn't an original way to describe her, but she really was exactly Diane Chambers from Cheers. Like, she really said, like, when and where.
She smiles widely.
You know, grammar and diction and enunciation were her passions. I remember being with her as a kid. We were ordering food, and she goes, I'll have the breakfast croissant. And, you know, we live in Manchester, New Hampshire. They say avocado there. I'm like, Mom. The girl's like, the what? The croissant, the breakfast croissant. I'm like, Mom, it's a croissant sandwich. We're at Burger King. Like, meet people where they're at.
She makes an annoyed look.
She was a director. She directed local theater in Manchester, New Hampshire. And she was a born director. You know, little notes, little corrections for everyone she met. Never met a comment card she didn't fill out. She was actually the voice of our local movie theater, Bedford Mall Cinemas, where all bargain matinees are only $2 Monday through Saturday. And she got the job because she complained. She went right in and said, I called to see what movies were playing, and the man on the line was indecipherable. He had no diction. I couldn't understand a word he was saying. They were like, you want to do it? She was like, I don't know. Yes, okay. And a star was born. She really never lied. It would never occur to her to lie, even to like protect someone's feelings. She just didn't do it, you know? Like she was directing a play and one of her young actresses asked her, you know, Beth Ann, do you think I could really make it someday? And she said, no.
She smiles and frowns.
The only reason I know that story was I was asking my sister Susie if she had any stories about Mom, and she told that to me. And I said, how do you know that? Were you there? And she said, no. Mom told me because she couldn't figure out why that girl was crying.
She smiles.
That girl, Pam Sullivan. Right, you've never heard of her.
She shakes her head.
Not talented. Did not have it.
She looks at the audience and places her left hand under her chin.
But, you know, she was my mom. I sat with her as she was dying, and I was holding her hand, and it was a quiet moment, and it was the last thing she said to me, and she looked up and she said, your hair, it's so dry.
She grimaces.
I really wouldn't change it for the world, you know? I know it sounds like I'm being hard on her, but honestly, I'm so grateful. She always told me the truth, and it was a bummer a lot of the time, but sometimes it was something nice, and then I knew it was true, you know? I mean, I think we need more Beth Anns in the world, you know? If we're lacking anything in this world right now, it's truth, you know? But the cold, hard, braless nipples of truth. Enter Janice, my wicked stepmother. as she called herself. She was just the sweetest lady you could ever meet. Just to give you an idea, like bleach blonde hair, face full of makeup, nails that matched the shoes, a whole outfit. She had a style, very different from my mother, and so sweet. And one time she picked me up after work, and I got in the car, and she said, "What do you think of my makeup?" And because I am my mother's daughter, I did have several notes. But because I was also Janice's daughter, I did know to shut the fuck up and tell her it was beautiful. And honestly, thank God I did, because then she said, "It's tattooed."
She mimics her stepmother showing her makeup with a large smile. She imitates herself fainting in shock.
Janice was very literal. What do I mean by that? I don't even know. But she needed, like, specific instructions. You know, she wasn't dumb. She was literal. She was very good at sports, for instance, because she could learn each step. You know how I put my hair in a ponytail? It's just like, blah, 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 you know? I feel like she'd be like, "You pull the hair through, and then you twist, and then you put the hair through that." You know what I mean? She's very you know how you scramble an egg, you just kind of have a feel for it? I feel like Janice would be like, "You put the fork in, and then you put it in 100 little circles."
She nods and touches her lips.
I was in the car with her, and I go, "Janice, do you have any chapstick?" And she looks and she goes, "Oh, shit. Oh, sweetie, I'm sorry, I don't." And I go, "It's okay." And then like a moment later, she goes, "I have something called Vaseline lip therapy."
She imitates Janice showing her the Vaseline lip therapy tube.
Yeah, that's great. You know I'm not sponsored by chapstick, right? My sister Laura is just an all-around artist. She does everything. And she had painted something, and she thought, "Oh, Janice would like this." So she mailed it to her. And then Janice got it, and she called Laura, and she goes, "How did you know?" And Laura goes, "Know what?" And she goes, "It's all my colors. Tan, bronze, and animal print."
She smiles.
This woman. You know, I've been doing stand-up since I was 17, and when I think back at my younger years, at how absolutely cunty and judgmental I was, I'm so embarrassed. Like, I remember thinking, like, "Ugh, women in leopard print is so lame. Like, it's so tacky. Only old Jewish and Italian women wear leopard print." And then I turned 50, and I realized, you know, it's such a fun print.
Sarah tilts her head. She fidgets with her fingers.
So as Dad and Janice got older, when they would have doctor's appointments, we would have them record on their iPhone, you know, on the voice memo app, and then they would post that on our family WhatsApp chain so we could listen to it and make sure everything was being taken care of. And the Silverman family is so up each other's assholes with WhatsApp chains, by the way. We've got like Silverman United, like everyone WhatsApp chain, and then there's four sisters, so then we have the sisters chain with us, and then like all the sisters minus one and all the different combinations.
Sarah looks away.
So Janice has this doctor's appointment, and we know it's gonna be bad news. We're pretty sure it's gonna be very bad news. And we have them record, and they post it on WhatsApp. And we're listening back, and you hear the doctor say, "Janice, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but you have stage 4 pancreatic." And then all of a sudden, you just hear this very loud, low rolling fart. And it's like 3 seconds. And I know people say 3 seconds to denote like a quick amount of time, but if you really think about it, like with Mississippi's, It's lengthy, you know? And I know it's my dad. You're probably like, oh yeah, I bet Schleppy farted all the time. I've never heard him fart in my life. I know that he did not have the tools to handle this, and so his body took over. And now I'm sitting there going, stage 4 pancreatic what?
She frowns.
But I used context clues. Their individual reactions to this news, I'm still listening, you know, and Janice is just, her reaction is so Janice, you know, she just goes, well, I'll just do everything you tell me, and I'll just do every single thing you say, and I'll fight it. And it was just so her, and then my dad's reaction was the craziest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I'm not kidding. You just hear him go, I'm alone!
She frowns and grimaces.
Then he goes, I'm a widow!
Sarah looks down.
I know my mother, Beth Ann, is out there somewhere going, it's widower. But Mom, it was so crazy. I'm the designated dad whisperer, and I was tasked with calling him. And I had to say, Dad, you cannot talk that way in front of your alive wife. You have to pull your shit together, okay? This isn't about you. This is about Janice. You have to take care of Janice. You have to focus. You can't, like, fall down right now. And he said, I know, I know. And then he started sobbing, and I've really never heard him do that, you know? And he goes, I don't want to be in a world without my Janice. I just don't want to be here without her. And I wanted to console him, and I looked for something to say, and I said, well, you know, statistically, you won't. And, I mean...
Sarah tilts her head and smiles.
I didn't know that was going to come true. Obviously, this is not a time to say I told you so or anything. But we got off the phone. He promised he was going to take care of Janice. And the next day, I did talk to Janice, and she said that she asked him for a glass of water, and he said, where is it?
Sarah stares in front of her and puts her hands on her waist with a confused look.
Where is water? It's in your elbows, Dad.
She shows her elbows and makes an embarrassed smile.
Find yourself a Capri Sun straw and pop it in there. She'll go to town.
She smiles.
So, needless to say, the four sisters and the few grandkids descended onto their apartment, and we dualed them through death. And death it's really hard for me. And that's what makes me unique. I know it's not, but it is. It's hard for me. It's very hard for me to even, like, kill a small bug, and, you know, almost impossible to make it look like a suicide.
She grimaces.
So little. We had flies in the house, a lot of flies, and I don't want to kill anything, and I opened the door and was just kind of like air traffic controlling them, like, go, shh. But in their defense, you know, I realized they are house flies. They were in their natural habitat, so I let it go. But then there were too many flies up in our bedroom, and it was too much, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. And Rory was like, I can say it if I say it fancy. Rory was like, you want me to get rid of them? And I said, what do you mean get rid of them?
She makes a scared look.
He said, do you want them gone? I said, okay. And I went outside the room and I shut the door, but I stayed and I listened. And all of a sudden I heard like, smash, smack, bam. And I was like, ah! And then he must have heard me go, ah! And then he got quiet. And then I heard him open the window. And then he goes, bye, guys. Fly safe.
Sarah puts both her hands on her heart.
I know. And I know he did that for me, you know. I mean, I know he murdered them, but he lied for me, you know. I think the reason why I have such an affinity for flies, oh, my God, we're still talking about flies? Yes. I do have about 4 more minutes on flies. But like a million years ago, I learned this fun fact that flies, they only live for 24 hours. Like that's their whole lifespan. And I don't know, there's something about that that's so beautiful and heartbreaking and poetic, you know, like a whole lifetime in a day. And I don't know, I just think it's so... You know, this is when I actually first learned this. I was a writer, feature performer on Saturday Night Live.
She closes her eyes and presses her hands together to thank the crowd. She mouths, thank you.
Thank you. I made an indelible impact. And it was the 1993-94 season, just to give you an idea of how good I look. And I had just learned that fun fact, and it was Phil Hartman's last year. Not of life, but at the show. He went on and he did that on news radio, you know. And he was so nice. And he said, he goes, hey, why don't you write a sketch for us to do together? And I was like, okay. And I wrote a sketch, and it was about flies. You know, like it starts with one of those, like, Star Wars crawls that explains it. The average fly lives 24 hours, blah, blah, blah. And then he played, like, an elderly fly on his deathbed, like 23 and a half hours old. And I'm like a young fly, just sprouted wings, and he's telling me the ways of the world, like, you know, I remember noon or whatever. And
she smiles and touches her cheek.
And then I don't remember it, but that at the end, like a dog comes and takes a shit and then leaves. And then he says something to me like, go get it, kid. And you're not gonna believe this, it didn't make the air. But I think flies are just so cute, and I don't understand why we kill them. I mean, we love animals when they're small, and then they get too small, and you're like, kill them. You're monsters. They're so little, you know what they're like? Their little wings and their giant eyes, and they've got like their hands going like they're hatching a plan, you know? Like I was brushing my teeth and there he was, a little baby fly just sprouted wings. And I was like, welcome to the world, buddy. You're gonna have such an adventure. And then that night I was washing my face and there he was. He was all grizzled and old and like, he wasn't flying anymore. He would just take like a stilted half step now and then. And I said, you did it, man.
She looks sideways.
What a ride. And Rory was in the bathroom. And he said, I don't think that's the same fly.
She suddenly turns her head.
I think it's just this moment in time in our world, in our country. I don't want a man to tell me anything. Not anything at all. And it's not right, but this is how I feel. I said, it's the same fly, but thank you. Then he has the fucking lips to go, are you sure flies only live 24 hours?
She makes an annoyed look.
I'm like, oh, you know what? Maybe you should look it up, because what do I know? I'm just a girl. I probably dreamt it. And he did back down, and he's like, okay, okay. But I did end up looking it up, and they live about a month.
She picks up her water bottle from a stool, opens it, and takes a sip. She shakes her head and spits water.
I don't give a fuck.
She puts the water bottle back on the stool.
So Janice went first. 4 months to the day. She loved life. Was that too fast a turn? She loved life so much, she wanted to live, you know? She did everything right, and it just sucked. And this seems like a good time to mention, I do have merch this tour. How fun is that? You know, I've never really had merch before. You know, we got schleppy hats and post-mortem t-shirts and, like, big gray, like, collegiate sweatshirts that say Silverman. Makes me feel like I went to college and, you know, I never really had merch before, but I just really feel like my parents would want me to monetize this.
She looks around, unsure.
Thank you. Thank you.
She purses her lips.
So, like I said, Janice went first, and we knew it was coming. And I had actually gone home that night to sleep, and I got a text from my sister Susie, who's a rabbi, around 7 a.m., and she said, Janice passed away around 2 a.m., and she's still here, and Dad is sleeping. They're holding hands. And she said, you know, normally Dad would be up, but I think he, in his bones, you know, he knows, and he just...
She shakes her head.
Doesn't want to face it. But I'm here, I'm sitting right next to him, and I'll be here when he wakes up. And I said, okay, great. And then all of a sudden, she remembers this joke that she and my dad always loved. And the joke is something like a brother calls his brother, and he goes, the cat died. And then the brother goes, don't just call and say the cat died. He goes, oh, what do you want me to say? He goes, call and say the cat's on the roof and we can't get her down. Then call and say, we're at the vet, it's not looking good. Then call and say the cat died. And the brother says, okay, I'm sorry. And his brother goes, it's all right. How's mom? And you're ahead of it. He says, she's on the roof and we can't get her down. So now Rabbi Susie remembers this all in 1 minute, and she's hysterically laughing, and she is a rabbi, but when she starts, she can't stop, and it's loud, and tears are running down her face, and she just can't stop, and she's now terrified that Dad is gonna wake up and be like, what's so funny? And she'd be like, Janice died.
She points her finger at the crowd and makes a sad face.
And she texts me and she goes, when he wakes up, should I say that Janice is on the roof and we can't get her down? And I'm like, yes. Because we are a very dark, fucked up family, but I did think better of it. And I said, no, be a rabbi. And later in the day, I'll tell him. But it's so funny, we're only just grieving, like, now, you know, because there's just so much logistics. You don't expect it. It's not how it is, like, in the movies or something. It's just, there's so much to do. And I feel bad saying this. They were such responsible people, but the craziest thing is they made no death plan. And so we were left with so much to do. And I don't want to blame, listen, in their defense, they were only 80 and 85. Who knew? And I guess I basically knew what they wanted. Like, my dad always said, throw me in a pine box and bury me. I'll push up the flowers in the trees. And I think Janice would have liked a nice, you know, five-star kind of silk lined with maybe a string and a bell, just in case. But I remember, you know, they came over every Sunday for bagels and cream cheese, and it was just my favorite day. And they were over, maybe this was 2 years ago, and everyone was in the backyard, and my dad and I were alone in the kitchen, and I asked him, I said, are you afraid of dying? And he goes, not at all. I don't remember before I was born, I'm not gonna remember after. But then he goes, but I'm scared it will hurt. And my dad was a huge pain pussy. It's true. He was so afraid it would hurt. He once got an EKG where they put all the stickers on you. He would not pull those stickers off. He's like, I'm afraid it will pull my hair. He goes, I'm gonna let it wear off. And he really did. It took like weeks. He was in a pool at one point with all these EKG stickers. He looked like a dog that just had puppies.
Sarah puts her hands on her waist.
So he really wasn't scared, but he was scared it would hurt. And his doctor called me. We're taking care of him now. And Janice is gone. And I'm the point person, so I answer the phone and I take it in the hallway. And his doctor, Dr. Nortman, said, listen, we just got your dad's blood results back, and he's dying. He needs to be in the hospital. And I said, I don't know what to do because we promised him no more hospital. He fucking hates it there. And the doctor said, you know, look, as a doctor, I have to suggest he go to the hospital. As a human being, I think that's fine. If he goes to the hospital, he'll live a few more days, but there'll be hospital days. And right now he's home, he's surrounded by family, and I actually think that's just the ticket. Then he said, the way he's gonna die is kidney failure, which just happens to be a painless death. You go into a fog eventually, it's almost euphoric, and you're just gone. And I was so excited for my dad, and I ran into his room. I probably should have taken a beat.
She smiles slightly.
I said, Dad, great news.
She frowns.
He's like, huh? I'm like, mitigate your expectations, you're dying. But I said, no more meds. You know, he was on like 40 pills a day. He goes, no more meds? I go, none, you're done. And we're all gonna live here with you forever.
She winks.
And, he knew what I meant, though. And then I told him exactly how he was gonna die and that it wasn't gonna hurt at all. And his shoulders went down and he was so happy. We all got into bed with him. It was a great death. You know, we were singing old camp songs. He loved camp. And telling funny Silverman family stories. I made a mix for him of all the biggest hits from the summer he was 17, because I feel like that was his happiest summer. And he knew every word to every song. It was pretty awesome. So, you know, Janice is gone, Dad is going, and I'm back on the phone with the same mortuary where we put Janice to try to get ahead of it. And I go into Dad's room and I said, Dad, I know you wanted to be buried, but would you mind being cremated only because, and what I'm about to say is it's going to be bad for the Jews, but I did get a deal on Janice's plot. I really did. It's called a plus one, and you can be buried with her like 3 feet above, but you have to be cremated to fit. And he goes, I don't give a fuck, he'll be dead. And I'm like, oh, you're so easy. We'll take it, thank you.
She imitates herself being on the phone. Then she takes a sip from her water bottle.
And the guy from the mortuary goes, was that your father?
She frowns and stares down, unsure.
I said, yeah. And he said, we can't schedule a cremation for someone who's currently living. Like, he said it like I was the asshole. You know, I'm like, you're a Jewish mortuary. You shouldn't even be offering cremation. All of a sudden, you're a stickler? What am I supposed to do? Like, cremation takes 1 to 2 weeks. Like, in Jewish, the funeral is like the next day. It's very farm to table. And like...
Sarah has an embarrassed look.
Oh, and then I go, and by the way, Janice had tattoos. I mean, it was her lips and her eyebrows, but still, she did. But you know, then I realized we don't need the ashes for the funeral. It's, you know, he's not really there. It's for us. A funeral is for us. And yeah, I don't think anyone's going to be like, yeah, where are the ashes? You know, just, we had a beautiful funeral. And a couple weeks later, we got the ashes and the four sisters did a little something, you know. But I don't know. My therapist said, your parents, your loved ones, they're not in the casket. They're not in the ground. They're in the car with you on the way to the cemetery. They're in the car with you going home from the cemetery. And I really believe that. I happen to be godless, but I do believe in science. And I know that energy cannot be created nor destroyed. I wrote that.
She smiles.
And I believe that. Our loved ones, they're not in the ground or in their bodies anymore. But their energy, their essence, their ness is out there. And I actually think that our loved ones are watching over us, you know, maybe not all the time, but in the important moments, like when we're masturbating. Or...
Sarah smirks. She blinks.
Oh, Sarah. I don't know why I would say that. I think I need to think that in order to come, but.
She looks sideways.
Because the show is so sad and then I worry and then I go too far the other way, but it's a balance. But I do think that our loved ones are watching over us when we masturbate. As evidenced by the faint, oi. Really? Huh. Thanks.
She puts her hands behind her back.
So, you know, now my dad is dying, and oh my God, he's being so funny. Like, at one point he goes, he musters up all his energy, and he goes, I changed my mind. I want to live. And my sister Susie, the rabbi, goes, ah! And I go, Susie, he's fucking with you. And then Susie came to the show when I was on tour a couple weeks ago, and she came backstage and she goes, are you kidding me? You were the one that gasped, and I was the one that told you he was fucking with you. And then I had to explain to her that, like, that's not who she is in this.
She touches her head. She nods.
So we're taking turns sitting with him and sleeping next to him. And at one point, Rory is, he's sitting with my dad. And my dad's phone went off. And I don't understand how old people, they don't know how to use a smartphone, but somehow they hack into it and make the volume 1,000. And also the ringtone was the Star Spangled Banner. And Rory's like, you want me to answer this? It's somebody named Steve Foreman. And my dad goes, okay. So he puts it on speaker and he holds it up. And this guy, Steve Foreman, goes, Schleppy, say it ain't so. And they have a little conversation and it's very sweet. And they hang up. And my dad says to Rory, you know who that was? You ever hear of Imitation Crab?
She frowns, unsure.
Oh. Rory's like, yeah, they put it in sushi sometimes, right? And my dad goes, that guy invented imitation crab. And he looked it up, he really did. In 1970, and now he's rich. And so Rory goes, that's amazing, how'd you meet him? And my dad goes, Dunkin' Donuts.
She shrugs and smiles.
They met at Dunkin' Donuts, and now they're having a conversation on his deathbed. A lot of my friends came by to say goodbye to him because, like, my dad played poker with us, so a lot of my friends, my comic friends, knew him. And Jeff Ross, you know, Jeffrey Ross, the Roastmaster General, the best roaster in town. He's been very close to my parents for a long time. And he came to sit with him. And when he walked in, he goes, Schleppy, I got bad news. I don't think you can be my emergency contact anymore.
She laughs.
And he sat with him. And actually, Jeff introduced my dad and Janice to a friend of his, this older magician named Bernie Shine. And they all became friends like the last 10 years or so. And they had gone, Dad and Janice had gone to see Bernie perform like 6 months earlier, you know? So Jeff is sitting with my dad and he goes, "You want me to FaceTime Bernie so you can say goodbye?" And he said, "Okay." And he FaceTimes him and he holds it up. And Bernie gets on and he says, "Donald, I'm so sorry." And my dad said, "Bernie, your show was so bad it killed Janice."
She smiles and touches her head in embarrassment.
And then he goes, "And I'm not feeling so hot either."
She puts both her hands on her face.
He was killing while dying. And he was supposed to, you know, this was supposed to be it. And, you know, it was, I think we reached this time where, like, we had really said it all. And he was, like not dying, you know? And it was honestly getting uncomfortable a little bit. It was awkward. And so I'm sitting with him and, you know, we had said it all. And I said, "I don't know, you want to watch TV?" He goes, "Okay." And we watched, we watched that series Beef, you know, with Ali Wong and Steven Yeun. So fucked up, dark. We love that shit. And it was great. We watched 3 episodes and then I went home to sleep. And so I came in the next morning. I go, "Schleppy, you ready for episode 4? And he goes, "I watched it."
Sarah frowns.
"You watched it without me? What? All right, what episode are you on?" He goes, "I binged it all."
Sarah makes a disappointed look.
"My dad binged Beef on his deathbed." Should be a billboard for Beef, really. He had a friend, there was a guy named Barry Tadelman, absolute mensch. We didn't know him until about 15 years ago. He searched for my dad. And he found him on Facebook, and they've been close the last 15 years. Why was Barry Tadelman searching for my dad? Because my dad was his camp counselor and changed his life. And, you know, ever since he died, all these old men have called into my podcast to say, you know, "Your dad was my camp counselor and changed my life." And, well, he molested them.
She tilts her head.
Relief laugh.
Sarah smirks and sighs.
So, Schleppy did die painlessly as promised. And it's so odd, you know, because I now have no parents. And there's really no age where you are ready to have no parents. You know, first my stepdad, John O'Hara, who didn't even make this special.
She touches her chest and closes her eyes.
So wonderful. And my mother, Beth Ann, who, you know, didn't get away unscathed, per se. And then Janice, and now my dad. And my experience is like, at first I felt rudderless, I think, you know? And then I kind of felt like identity crisis-y, you know? Like, who am I without them, you know? Like who am I without them? And if you ever are wondering who you are, take a look at the ads that are sent to you and only you on your phone.
She stares at the audience.
That's who you are. Everybody knows about it now. It's not like, you know, everyone knows targeted ads, like Siri's listening to you and Alexa's listening to you and everything you type into your search bar gets taken into account and fed to you. But there was a time when this was happening and we were not aware of it. And, you know, like I would look at my phone and be like, oh my God, I was just talking about culottes or whatever. Ads would just pop up. And when I think about that time, I'm so embarrassed at how absolutely indignant I was. You know, I remember saying, I was reading the New York Times op-ed section on my phone, and all of a sudden an ad pops up for ilovecum.com.
She narrows her eyes.
Children could be reading this. Why would the New York Times sell ad space to these people? And of course it's because they're not. That was just my phone knowing me. I don't want you to think of me like typing in ilovecum.com. First of all, it's a .org, but I didn't even know it was a website, really. You know, I just was typing in whatever my search words were at the time, like, you know, penises ejaculating or whatever, and my phone was like, stop typing, I've got you. And it would take me there, you know? It was like my phone's way of saying, when there was only one set of footprints.
She holds both her hands in the air, palms up. Then she puts her hands together.
That's when I was carrying you. I got you. I know what you were thinking. You're like, this cum joke better have a Jesus reference or I'm leaving.
She puts her hands on her waist.
Well, I deliver. God's love, I deliver.
She smiles and shrugs.
I said cum.com so many times, you're gonna get ads for it. So, like I said, we're really just grieving now. And it's interesting to me because, you know, 3 out of 4 of us are godless of the sisters, not society at large. That would be amazing.
She grins and moves her head.
But we're on our WhatsApp, our sister's WhatsApp, and we're grieving. And it does occur to me that grief is a lot like religion because we're trying to make sense of something that is beyond our comprehension. We're trying to understand something that may not be understandable. And like Susie wrote, you guys, 2 birds landed in my windowsill, and I know it was them. And, you know, Jodine and Laura were like, it was them. And I want to contribute. I hearted it. And then Laura was like, I was at Target, and a woman walked up to me and told me I looked gorgeous in purple. And I know that was Janice. And Susie and Jodine were like, it was Janice, you know? And I'm like, hey, boop, boop, boop.
She raises her thumbs up.
Yeah, and
she looks in the distance.
But it was actually what Jodine said that got me. You know, she said, you guys, I farted for like 4 seconds. And I said, it's Dad.
Sarah has a tender look. She takes a sip of water.
I miss him so much. I mean, I'm okay, but I just ache for him. And the thing that surprises me so much is that I don't find myself missing like young, able-bodied dad or the dad that took care of me and went to all my games. I don't know why this is, but I find myself missing the end, like the final days, the quiet times when I'm taking care of him. And like he would literally have to tell me when he had to pee, and then I would have to take his penis and put it in a jug. And penis in a jug sounds like a dessert at TGI Fridays or something, but it's not. And
she hesitates.
But in those times, even like wiping his ass and like changing his diaper, I was like, Dad, are you horrified? And he was like, I don't give a fuck. And once I knew that, I could really, you know, not enjoy, but I felt honored to, I wanted to keep them clean, you know? And maybe you guys are thinking like, oh, I would never want to like do that, but you will. You will be able to do, you know, it's like when someone goes, I want to get a dog, but I don't want to like pick up its shit. And then on day one, you're like, good boy. Oh my God. It just goes away and you don't care and you want to do it. And it's in those moments when I get to keep them clean, you know, and I can tell him things, you know, like, Dad, I love you. And Dad, thank you. And also, you know, who's wiping the shit out of whose tuchus now, asshole? Thank you so much. Thank you to the Beacon Theater, and what an incredible audience, and oh, good.
The audience stands up.
Thank you.
Sarah thanks everyone in the audience and waves goodbye. Sarah leaves the stage. Pictures of Donald, Janice, Beth Ann, and John are shown. A text reads, dedicated to Donald and Janice Silverman, Beth Ann and John O'Hara. End credits roll with photos of Sarah's family and of her childhood. Written and performed by Sarah Silverman. Executive producer Sarah Silverman. Amy Zvee. John Skidmore. Directed by Sarah Silverman. More credits follow with photos of Sarah's father, Donald, and sisters.
This is Crazy Sophie's husband. I could just vomit when I see all the stuff the department stores pull to get you into their overpriced emporiums. Spend your time at the mall, spend your money at Crazy Sophie's. When you care enough to get the very best, but too cheap to pay for it, the answer is Crazy Sophie's Factory Outlet.
Photos of Sarah and her mother, then photos of Donald and Janice scroll by. Footage of Sarah's dad is shown.
This is my first, whatever the fuck you call it, and it's the one of many to come. And you're going to laugh, you're going to cry, you're going to stink, you're going to sigh, and this is what a feminist looks like.
More family photos are shown of Sarah and her sisters as kids eating a burger.
I have to talk to you about something.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this. Are you listening?
Yeah.
I don't think you should be my emergency contact anymore.
I don't know. I think I should be.
All right. Well, you better be there for me.
Yeah. You still with your sweet girlfriend?
Oh, yeah.
What did he say?
Are you still with your sweet girlfriend?
Oh, no.
You already trying to bang my girlfriend?
Hi, Sarah. It being Shabbos, I thought I'd give you a call. I got this new battery for my bicycle. Thank you so much for finding the guy. And I love it. Oh, I could probably go to Florida on it, so cancel the airline tickets because it's got so much power. Anyway, or as they say in New Hampshire, anyways, love you. Hope you're doing well. Bye-bye.
Copyright Netflix 2025. Video description, Diffuse. Voice talent, Vito DiFilippo. Scriptwriter, Clémentine Martin.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.